Welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Whether you like to fish, enjoy talking about fishing, or just enjoy the fishing lifestyle, this is the podcast for you. So go grab yourself a cold drink or a hot cup of coffee, sit back, start tying up some fishing rigs, and enjoy the show. Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. I hope you're having a good day, whatever day it is that you happen to be listening to the show. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I appreciate you taking the time to drop in and check out the show. And if you're new, welcome to the Freak Show. I appreciate you checking it out. If you're listening on the podcast world, which this is on all the major platforms, you can also watch this one. I'm trying to do video versions of these that are available on YouTube. And if you're watching it on YouTube, you can always find it on a podcast audio version, audio-only version of it's out there. So anyway, appreciate you checking it out, stopping by. Anybody wants to reach out to me with some feedback on the show, ideas, or to hit me up about a guide trip. I do guide trips in the Carolinas. Along the Catawba River chain of lakes right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, go to my website, DieterMellhornFishing.com, and there's a contact section. You can send me an email, shoot me a text. Texting me is probably the easiest way to go, and I love to hear feedback from you guys. A lot of times, like today's show, it comes from questions that I get from you folks that watch the video version of the podcast or listen to it. And sometimes I even get ideas from people I have on guide trips out on the boat. People ask questions. I get a lot of the same questions. That's some of the podcasts I'm going to do this year, is talking about some of those things. So the podcast, the video version, similar to the videos. The videos are designed for a little different crowd that's a little more in a hurry, that's looking for bullet points. In the podcast, we kind of drag stuff out and talk about it a little more in depth, a little more leisurely. It's something you definitely don't need to be watching. A lot of times in videos, I'm showing something. The podcast, we're kind of talking about it so you can sit and listen to it leisurely while you're washing dishes. You know, you can put the earbuds in while your wife is talking to you and listen and act like you're listening to her at the same time. Just don't get caught, because then it's my fault. But anyway, I digress, off in a different direction. Listen, today we're going to talk about targeting flatheads. I've had several videos out this year on fishing for flatheads, and it's always a big topic this time of the year, and we'll go into that here in the podcast as to why here in a minute. It's one of the five important points about catching flatheads, but we're going to talk a little bit about targeting them and what exactly that means and what's involved in it. And, you know, what you can do. Everybody wants to catch flathead. They're a very popular catfish. One, they've got a funny shape to them. You know, blues, channel catfish, bullheads, they all look kind of similar. You get to a flathead, yeah, they got whiskers. You know, yeah, they got they don't have scales, but they got that big, wide head. And it just, there's something captivating about them. The other thing is, they're not really all that widespread. And they usually don't show up in the numbers that the other catfish do. And if you hook into one, they definitely got a different fighting stance than some of the other catfish. So it makes them very popular for people to pursue. You don't know how many people I've had on guide trips that catch their first flathead out fishing with us, because they're not everywhere. They're not, you know, in every body of water. And that's one of the important things. You know, really the first thing I tell people, my tip number one on catching and targeting flatheads, is you got to have them where you're fishing. They're not everywhere. You know, technically speaking, they're on the Mississippi drainages, anything that dumps into the Mississippi River. Here in North Carolina, they are not a native species, except for a couple of little drainages in the extreme western part of North Carolina, west of the Continental Divide, that dump into the Tennessee River. And that, in turn, eventually dumps into the Mississippi River. The ones that are in the Carolinas where I fish, they're transplants, so to speak. They have basically hopped from lake to lake to lake. There were some that were brought into the Carolinas decades ago, probably 50, 60 years ago. And started out in the eastern part of the state with very small numbers. I think less than 25 is what were introduced. And from there, they got moved from one place to another, and they started to spread out. Mostly anglers catch them. Oh, I love these fish. I'm going to put some in this lake. I'm going to put some in that lake. And it doesn't take many fish in these situations, especially when it's an apex predator like a flathead catfish, to move and grow quickly because they can find food very easily. So pretty much anything that swims, they'll eat it. So I say all this to say you got to have them, first of all. So they're not everywhere. Not all lakes, not all rivers, not all of them have them, especially if you get east of the Continental Divide into these drainages that drain into the Atlantic side. So they're not everywhere. They're not all over the place on the West Coast. So if you got them and you enjoy catching them, you're lucky. If you got them and you like other species of fish, you're unlucky. That's a whole nother topic for another discussion as far as just how damaging they are as an invasive species, but we'll get into that in another show. The bottom line is flathead catfish, you gotta have them first. So make sure you got them. There's no point in going and fishing, trying to figure out, hoping they're there. You know, if you're on the Mississippi River, if you're on the Tennessee River, Ohio River, those fish are indigenous to those waters. So you can fish for them and catch them there. Now, other lakes and stuff may or may not have them. So you're going to have to do some asking, do some looking, and just see where they show up at. So that's rule number one. The second point I always tell people when you're trying to target them is you got to make sure water temperatures are right. And what I mean by that is flatheads kind of, they don't hibernate in the winter, but they become very inactive in the wintertime. And this means there are periods in the wintertime when the water's cold that it's hard to catch them. Not that you can't catch them. You will catch some. You'll stumble onto them. You ever see me get excited? It will happen when I catch one in the wintertime in very cold water. They're hard to catch, though. So in the springtime, typically where I'm at in the Carolinas, that 60 degree mark is kind of the ding, ding, ding. We may start catching some now. So that's kind of the low end. I've heard it's lower in some other places. I don't know. I just know around here, 60 degrees seems to be kind of the starting point. Once you get up into the 60s, approaching 70s, the flatheads are awake and they're active. And I'm not just talking one day where you get, an Indian summer in the wintertime and it gets warm for a couple of days and you see a surface temperature that picks up. I'm talking once, your water temperature on up there. Once you get into the 60s and you're holding in the 60s consistently, that is when you can start looking for these fish. Generally speaking, around here where we're at, that usually happens in the, late March timeframe into, early April. By the time end of April here, April is here, usually you're well into the 60s. Flatheads are biting. People are catching them. They're active. It is the time to be out fishing for them. So that's like, my number two point, and you got to have those two things lined up first. Then, as you narrow down this targeting procedure, you got to go out there and figure out where to start. Depending on where you're fishing at, it's a big body of water that you're looking at. Now, these things can be found in some little bitty places. Any of y'all that watch Chris Flores, Muddy River Catfishing, he catches flatheads in some little ditches, as I call them. They can be there, but for you folks that are looking at bigger bodies of water, and this honestly probably, I don't know exactly where Chris fishes out there, but I got a feeling what I'm getting ready to say probably applies to even small bodies of water. You got to look for differences in bottom structure, changes in bottom structure. If you're on a lake, not that you can't catch them on these big, vast flats, but when there's changes, generally speaking, those big flats don't hold that many flatheads. When you get places that have changes in that bottom structure, steep drop-offs on a river channel edge, some type of bend, a rock pile, anything like that, humps, points, that kind of thing, they give you some kind of structure. That is a place to start to narrow down where you're going to be setting up for these fish. And what I mean by setting up is you can catch these fish moving. Don't get me wrong. But most people that are catching flatheads are anchored down and putting baits into a certain area, a narrow area. I've caught a lot of fish, a lot of flatheads drifting. I've trolled up a lot of them. It is a way to catch them when you have the ability to work some of these areas. But as we go into more detail on what we're looking for when we're fishing for these fish, you really are better off anchoring. I think most people that are targeting flatheads are anchoring down for them. You guys on the bank, a little bit different scenario. You got to be able to put some baits into an area, whether you're hitting some trees, you're hitting some rock piles offshore, some points, drop off some points, a little different for you there. You can still catch them from the bank. Trust me, you can catch some good fish from the bank because they got one thing going for you on the bank. And a lot of times, especially at night, these flathead catfish are pulling in shallow to feed. They're feeding on crappie that are up shallow. They're feeding on bluegill. Anything that is running up in those shallow water, even largemouth bass that are up spawning shallow. A lot of times these flatheads are cruising these shallow areas near the bank, and that is a great time for you guys that are, you know, bank fishermen locked to the bank to get out and catch some of these fish. Another thing in addition is you can try to put all this stuff together. When you get all this stuff kind of put together into a, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle, it really increases your chance of catching these fish. Another thing is some type of cover, whether that be, brush piles, trees that are down, that type thing, docks out there that have stuff around them. These fish are ambush predators, and it's kind of from a bottom up or from a side out. And I only say side out because I've seen some videos of these things sitting on very steep, you know, surfaces, edges, rock walls, almost straight up and down. They got the eyes on top of their head. They got a tremendous underbite in their mouth, and they're able to snap out there. And they got a huge mouth, the biggest mouth of any catfish. And they can pretty much take in very large, about anything they encounter out there, they can get into their mouth and try to ingest it. So they're very much an ambush predator. So I say all that to say they like being around this stuff. They like the stuff on the bottom, the rock piles, the brush, that kind of thing. Now, you got two options on this. You can chunk baits straight into it and hope you can pull them out. I'm not a fan of that. A lot of times that's a 50-50 shot on whether you get the fish out. Not to mention even if you know what kind of damage you can do to the fish and trying to get it out. Anytime you put baits in there, rigs in there, sinkers get hung up on stuff, it can create a scenario where you can lose fish. I prefer to be slightly above it, whether it be using bobbers, suspended baits, or putting this stuff on the edge of it. If you're fishing in a river where you got some current or a reservoir that's got current movement from water releases, if you can get above these areas to where you're putting out cut baits that are drifting scent into there, these fish will come out and pick those baits off. Some people like to cast right into the middle of the worst stuff out there, hope they can pull the fish out of there. If that's what you want to do, that's fine, just be forewarned, you lose some rigs, you lose some fish. So I prefer to get the fish when they're coming out to the edges of this stuff. But that's where they're at. That's where you find a lot of them. When you're truly trying to target them, all this stuff is what you're looking at. Again, a lot of these fish can be caught away from all this stuff. You will stumble into some. You will catch some in a place where you're like, man, why was that fish even here? You know, Dieter and everybody else said, you got to be in this stuff. Listen, they're opportunistic. They're on the move, especially if they're finding a spawning area. So they will be away from this stuff. You can catch them there. But again, when you're targeting them, truly targeting them, these are the things that you're looking for. And the last thing, number five, is going to be bait. First and foremost, I believe some type of fish is better than using some of the other stuff out there. You should watch my channel. You'll know I use chicken a lot of times. Chicken is a great bait. We catch more fish on chicken than we do anything else. But a lot of that has to do with where we're fishing and the type of fish that we're targeting. You're usually getting blues and channel catfish on that chicken, and you're usually getting that in areas where there are mussels or aquatic snails, because that's what the fish are focused on. That's what those catfish are focused on. Not to say that flatheads do not eat mussels and aquatic snails, because I believe they do, given the opportunity. I just don't think they target them as much as the blues and the channel cats do, especially the blue catfish. For whatever reason, the blues have figured out this is a good food source for them, and they go after them. And I don't think the flatheads do as much. So that is why I say you're much better off going with some type of fish that swims in the water. It can be shad, it can be skipjack, it can be crappie, it can be bass. And I say all these game fish where it's legal. Bluegill, another one that they love to eat. Any of the sunfish, fish from the sunfish family, they love to eat them. Now, the next question that always comes up is, and an age-old argument that goes on forever, is you got to use live bait for flatheads. There are a lot of people that use it. I, too, use it myself. But let me preface it with this. Most of what I fish are reservoirs. So reservoirs, river-fed reservoirs. Most of the fish we catch, most of the flatheads that we catch, are on cutbait. The biggest flatheads I've ever caught have been on cutbait. Do they eat live bait? Absolutely. And, you know, no problem with using that. But I do believe that the advantage to using cutbait is scent. You put out more scent into the water with a cut piece of bait. Granted, flatheads don't have a fillet knife. They do not naturally eat cut bait because, well, it doesn't exist. You know, they're eating pretty much all live fish. But to up the game a little bit, my suggestion to people always is put out a mix. Put out some cut bait so that at least you get some scent dispersion, especially if you're in an area that has current, whether it be a river or a reservoir. And then put out some live bait. See what works, especially if you got some live baits that are active. I think live baits will do better generally if you can suspend them underneath a bobber, underneath some kind of a float, versus putting them on the bottom. A lot of times when you put these live baits pinned to the bottom, they have a tendency to find some place to hide and sometimes swim your baits into a brush pile, and they're just going to stage up there so they're not out thrashing around. So my suggestion is to always use both. I love using cut bait for them. I just think we catch more fish that way using those baits. But if you feel comfortable using the live baits, go for it. It could be that live bait works better in rivers. You know, I don't know. I haven't fished enough free-flowing rivers enough to really look at that. But, you know, give both of them a shot. Don't, you know, the biggest thing is if you've got two fish, and that's all you're going to get to fish with, you're probably better off cutting those things up into cut bait and throwing those two out there. And if they get eaten and they're gone, you're done fishing. So, but those are my kind of like five things that you need to keep in mind if you're truly targeting flathead catfish. Now, if you're in an area that's got blue catfish, you're probably going to catch some of those along the way. Every time I go targeting flathead catfish, you're doing all these things. If there's blues around, they're going to eat your bait. Trust me on that. But doing this, you've got a much better chance of a flathead coming in and taking your bait than if you're, say, out, you know, anchoring up on mussel bed, someplace that's really big and open that is not going to hold as many flatheads as, you know, it does blue cat. So just some pointers to keep in mind. People ask me all the time, you know, what are you actually doing when you're targeting flatheads? That's kind of my things I look at and a little bit of a change in the game. From what I'm doing normally, you know, a lot of times, again, find the structure, find the cover, and try to put baits in those areas. Try to mark fish. A lot of times you can mark these fish if you have a sonar unit. If you're on the bank, obviously you don't have that going for you, but, you know, try to mark some of these fish if you can. And sometimes it's a waiting game. These fish generally, you know, are more active in low light situations. You can catch them during the day. That is another thing I probably should throw in as number six, is a lot of people think they only feed at night. Totally not true. We catch a lot of them during the day. But with that said, I think your odds are better in low light conditions, especially fishing shallow. Now, middle of the day, you may be able to pick some of these fish off, you know, in brighter sunlight, fishing deeper cover, deeper structure. You know, they're not necessarily a nighttime only fish, but I do catch a lot of them at night. And a lot of times that's truly what I'm targeting. I do go out at night fishing for them. So you guys that like to fish at night, this is a fish that you can probably actually, you know, have a better odds of targeting and catching at night. But catch them day or night. It all depends when they're feeding, where you're fishing. Just remember, low light conditions seem to be better. So whatever that shallow, getting less light penetration, you know, at night or, you know, first thing in the morning, right as it gets dark, just keep that in mind too. So hopefully that's some tips, a little quick podcast here on targeting flatheads, and hopefully it'll help you put some in the boat and on the bank this spring and this summer. So until next time, we'll catch you out on the water.